going to see that Jesus talks about four different groups here, and we're not going to look at them in the order that they come up here, because I want to look at Jesus as the Good Shepherd last. But he's talking about himself as the Good Shepherd. Okay, and there's four groups that I want to think about here as Jesus describes himself and those around him. He says that there are sheep, there are wolves, there are hirelings or hired shepherds, and there is the Good Shepherd. So Jesus teaches us something about himself using this picture of a shepherd looking after sheep in the times of Israel. And the first group, which is sort of really important to think about and define, is the sheep. Because if there's a shepherd, then there's some sheep to look after. And the sheep here are God's people. Jesus talks about the sheep. He says that these sheep are all of those who are united with Jesus. He says down there that in verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own." There's all of these sheep people who belong to Jesus. These sheep belong to him. They know him and they are known by Jesus. If you are united to Jesus, if you hear Jesus' voice, if you listen to him, if you've submitted to Jesus as your shepherd, as your God, then you are one of Christ's flock, one of his sheep. If you haven't listened to Jesus, if you haven't submitted to him as your shepherd, then you are not one of his sheep. You're not part of his flock, at least not yet. Jesus says that his flock, his sheep, are all over the world, and we know from reading other parts of Scripture that they're actually all over time as well. Those who belong to Jesus Christ come from all places, in all times, in all tribes and tongues and people and languages. He says in verse 16, he says to these Jews, the people who are listening to them, who tended to think of themselves as the only people that God loved, he said to them, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold." They're not just part of this group of Jews. He says, "I have other sheep and I'll bring them in. They will hear my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Our God is a good God who doesn't just focus on one group, in one nation, in one language, but he brings in people into his flock from all over the world, from all different places and tongues and times. Jesus truly is the one who crosses all cultural boundaries. So I guess my question to you is, are you actually part of that flock? Are you part of Jesus' flock? Have you listened to him? Are you united to him? Have you submitted to him? Is he your shepherd? And then he's talking to this group of Jews, and he's talking about himself as the good shepherd who looks after the sheep. And part of the thing that a shepherd does, at least in the times of Jesus in Israel, was to shield the sheep from wolves. Verse 12, he says, "A hireling, a hired shepherd, who's not the good shepherd, is one who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." There are wolves. It's a strange sort of picture. But Jesus is saying that there are those who attempt to harm the sheep. There are those who attempt to harm those who are part of Jesus' flock. There are those who attempt to tear Jesus' flock or to scatter them. Perhaps we might think of this today in terms of those who try and tear Christians or tear those who are even seeking Christ away from Christ. Are there those who actually are attempting to tear you away from Christ? Are there those who are attempting to scatter you away from Jesus Christ? Sometimes the things that tear us away from Jesus Christ come from inside. They are things to do with our pride, because our pride makes us want to be part of a group which doesn't believe these fairy tales, these things about people rising from the dead or heaven in the sky or something like that. Sometimes the thing inside ourselves tears us away from Christ by making us focus on things that we can see rather than focusing on Jesus Christ, because we focus on all the good things in the world and we just try and get those good things. And when we try and get those good things, we take our focus off the spiritual things, which are hard to see, and so we're torn away from Christ. Sometimes we're drawn away because in our hearts and in our bodies we have lusts, and we go after those lusts, and those lusts tear us away from Christ, because Christ tells us to crucify those lusts and to put them away. And so we go after our lusts and they separate us from Christ. Those things tear us away. But there are actually wolves, people, because the wolves are about people, not just what is inside us, wolves who encourage us and encourage those things inside us in order to take us away from Jesus Christ. There are people who will encourage you in your lust in order to bring you away from Jesus Christ. There are people who will encourage you in your pride in order to take you away from Jesus Christ. There are people who will encourage you to focus on the things that you can get, the good things in this life, the experiences in this world, and to just put aside Jesus Christ. Perhaps in your life there are wolves, as Jesus puts them, who are trying to turn you away from faith in Jesus. Perhaps you don't actually even need wolves. Maybe just all the things come out from inside you and they turn you away from Jesus. But maybe there's actually wolves, people encouraging you. I would suggest that even if you don't have any friends who are trying to turn you away from Jesus, there is actually lots of influence in our society which tries to tear you away from Jesus the way that a wolf does. If you consider, for instance, TV and advertising and the things that you see on TV, often those things are trying to stir up in you a desire for money or for stuff and things, and they take you away from Jesus Christ by focusing on things which are less important. Sometimes you have TV or internet or books or entertainment of any kind which tries to stir up in you lusts, desires, and focus on those lusts and those desires rather than actually focusing on the spiritual reality of Jesus Christ. Instead of crucifying those lusts and desires which take you away from Christ and actually damage your life, they are trying to stir you up, and that tears you away from Christ. Perhaps you even have friends, teachers, leaders in the community, psychologists, professors, who stir up your pride in you. And they try and teach you that, you know, to believe in this is actually to be a little bit silly. To believe in Jesus Christ, as it is in Scripture, is actually narrow-minded. To believe in Jesus Christ as being raised from the dead is actually unscientific. And so they stir up your pride and your desire to be someone who is thought well of and scientific, or someone who is not silly. And so you come away from Jesus Christ, and because those wolves have stirred up your pride. I want to suggest to you that the people who create the TV and the advertising and the internet pornography and the dating agencies and the magazines and all of those things are actually getting something out of tearing you away from Jesus Christ. Sometimes they are getting something for themselves, for instance, making money, and sometimes they are actually justifying themselves by getting you onto their side, by enlisting you as one of their followers and taking you away from Jesus Christ. And all those wolves really need to do is to stir up inside of you things that are already there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So my question for you is, who is trying to tear you away from Jesus? Who is trying to tear you away from faith in Jesus Christ? Because Jesus himself paints this picture and says there's sheep, and the ones who are trying to tear the sheep away are the wolves. The third part of Jesus' picture here are what's termed in verse 12 and 13 a hireling. And we could think of it as a hired hand, a helper, a hired shepherd. And they're meant to be looking after the sheep. He says this, he says, yeah, the picture is of a shepherd who owns a flock of sheep, and the shepherd has a life, perhaps a wife, perhaps something that he needs to get done, and so someone needs to look after the sheep, and so he hires someone to look after the sheep while he goes and sleeps, or while he goes and has time with his family, or while he goes to market, or something like that. But if a wolf comes at that particular point in time, who is the hired helper going to think about most of all? What's good for the sheep or what's good for himself? And the hired helper sees the wolf coming and thinks, this isn't worth 20 bucks an hour, I'm leaving. And he runs away. The hireling flees because he doesn't own the sheep. They're not his. He doesn't care about them. Now, there are those, perhaps, who are meant to be looking out for you, but who don't really care. I hope not, but it's possible. And in Jesus' time, this was definitely the case. In Jesus' time, there were those who were meant to be spiritual leaders in Israel who were not actually caring for the flock. What they were doing was caring about themselves, the scribes and the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders. Didn't really care so much about the flock, but what they could get out of actually being the leaders of the flock. Some of them were leaders because they liked the pride which came with being leaders. They liked the prestige of being listened to. But if things get difficult for leaders who are there because of prestige or pride or maybe even money, then leaders who are just hired shepherds, they're getting something out of it, they run away. They run away. If things get difficult, they run away. Why? Because the flock really isn't what they care most about. They care about themselves, and they're getting something out of being shepherds. They're getting prestige, perhaps money. They like being listened to. But so when things get difficult, they run away. Now, I'm an elder in a church, so I say this advisedly because I'm one of the leaders of the members here in this church. And as shepherds of this congregation, we're not hired shepherds, we're there appointed by Jesus to actually look after the spiritual welfare of each of our members. We're not here as hired shepherds, but even as an under-shepherd, that's what we like to call ourselves, an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ, we're still sharing some of these flaws. I mean, sometimes it would be easier to run away than to face a wolf. And sometimes you do wonder, well, what do I get out of this? And if you have leaders of any kind in a church, they're going to be flawed. I would encourage you not to look for all the flaws in your leaders, because you'll find them quite easily. It's not hard to find flaws in your leaders. But having said that, you do need to beware of leaders who care more about themselves than about your spiritual condition. Beware of people who actually care more about themselves than about your state with Jesus, about your relationship with Jesus. And if you are seeking Jesus, or if you have found Jesus, if you have submitted to Jesus, then you find a leader, you find a shepherd, you find someone who's going to look after your spiritual welfare. You find a leader or a shepherd who cares about your spiritual welfare. Unfortunately, you won't find one who is flawless. However, fortunately, in the grace of God, in the mercy of God, you don't have to rely just on your flawed leaders. Because the main point, the big point about from this passage that Jesus is teaching is about the good shepherd. Not the sheep, not the wolves, not the hireling, but about himself. He says, right from the very beginning of this short passage, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. There's just one. All the rest are under shepherds. Some of them are hirelings. They don't care about the sheep. And then there's wolves and there's sheep. But there's only one good shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus will never tear you to scatter you. He'll never tear you apart. He'll never push you away from the flock. He'll never destroy your life like a wolf will. Jesus won't flee when you're in trouble. He is always there. Jesus doesn't look after himself first. In fact, this is what Jesus says. He says, you know that I am the good shepherd. Verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He cares for the sheep to the point where the lives of those sheep are actually so important to him that he is willing to sacrifice his own life so that they will live. He says a hireling won't do that because a hireling's just getting some money and they're not his sheep. Jesus says in verse 13, the hireling flees because he's a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep. Jesus isn't just a noble Lord. Jesus cares. And Jesus cares in a way which is really personal. He cares in a way which he says, I know my sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. We were reading a psalm in devotions last night where it talks about the God of heaven and earth, and then he watches over you. The God of heaven and earth, who can see the world as though it is just a speck in the distance because he is that great and that big, and yet he sees each individual on earth and he cares for every single one of his sheep and he knows them and calls them by name. Jesus doesn't just make a noble sacrifice. Jesus knows the names of each of his sheep. He cares and he loves for his sheep and he'll bring them in from all times and all places. And Jesus doesn't do this by compulsion. He doesn't do this because he's forced to. The Bible does say that God called. In fact, God commanded Jesus to go. But Jesus wasn't forced to. Verse 17 and 18, he says, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life. Jesus has his own life in his hands and he puts it down voluntarily so that you can be saved. Jesus has his own life. He says, no one takes it from me. Jesus is not just someone who was caught in the wrong place and is an example of those who are pure and yet persecuted. No, no. No one takes Jesus' life from him. He says, I lay it down of myself. He says, I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. Now, Jesus here had not yet died and been resurrected, but this is what he's saying. He says, I'm going to die, but when I die, it'll be because I choose to lay down my life. And when I choose to lay down my life, I will die. And when I choose to take it up again, then I'll be raised from the dead. So Jesus is a shepherd like no other. Not only is he perfectly pure, perfectly loving, perfectly caring, but he's also perfectly powerful and perfectly sacrificial. Jesus is the one who is able to care for you, who will always care for you in the way that you should be cared for, who cares for you better than what you deserve, who lays down his life even though you don't deserve it. And so I call on you. I call on you to recognize that. Because Romans 5 verse 8 says this. It says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So did Christ die for you? Are you willing to repent and believe in Jesus Christ? Because then you'll be part of that flock. And there's nothing like that. Amen.